Indie Nation listeners, you're about to hear a special segment of TechNet News Opinion. Basically, it's a Walking Dead review. We do it every time we do a news broadcast for the episodes we've just seen. And you're more than welcome to join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You get over to geekshed.net, Internet Relay Chat, hang out and pound indienation.fm, hail Lumpy or hail Brian, and we'll tell you how to get in with the TeamSpeak 3 client. And you can participate in TechNet News Opinion and the zombie review. I don't know where my buddy's at with
The Walking Dead.
Yeah. I did want to mention, I think I told you, 13-episode miniseries, Heroes Reborn in 2015 on NBC.
I know you've been talking about Heroes quite a bit.
I liked Heroes. I also liked Alphas, and they canceled that. That was a sci-fi.
Yeah.
Did you get to look at the next one? Even?
Let me look. Oh, the Power on the Moon?
I'll tell you what, why don't you roll the contact information out the way, and I'll see where he's at right quick.
All right, so if you want to get a hold of me, you go ahead and go to biteoftech.com. Again, that's B-I-T-E of tech.com. Of course, there's the nice, easy way to go to my Google Plus page. If you go to google.com/plushbrianaldridge, and that will take you right to my Google Plus page. Also, on our website for indienation.fm, you can go on there. There's a contact form on there. If you want to get involved in our forum and maybe have some input on different what we provide for content, or if you want to get involved maybe broadcasting, one thing we always have the opportunity to do is to provide people for broadcasting. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm back. He's done. He's going to use the facilities, and then I will mic him up. But where were you at? Just contact information.
Oh, I was saying we also have a forum on there for people maybe that want to give some input on different shows. We got that working. We were talking about that earlier. We got the forum working on our website. I told them, I was saying that we're always open to new broadcasters. So if someone thinks they have good content, they could always contact us and inquire about maybe getting into the rotation.
I actually have a Google form. If they want to hit programming at indienation.fm, I'll send them a link to the form, and then they can fill that out with their show idea, and we can go from there.
Yep. And, yeah, and so I was telling them also, they can go on to the contact us. If you have a band that wants to get into the rotation on Google+, not even just a podcast, but maybe you have music that you'd like to see in the rotation, and it's indie music. It's not something that you're expecting licensing fees for. We do have a contact us on the website that gets you in a tab for get your band on our station. So you could always fill that out.
And, well, I'm Lumpy at indienation.fm, Lumpy on Twitter, John Lemke on Google+, and I just drug Eric in. We normally do Walking Dead at the beginning. We got 3 episodes. I bet you we can close out the show with this, Brian. We got an hour.
All we need to do is get on a...
I don't know, man.
And then we'll be
but let Eric introduce himself.
How's it going? This is Eric, and I spent the beginning of the broadcast catching up on The Walking Dead.
Yeah, and it's... Eric has done some photography for us before in the past, live events and stuff. You do cinematography.
I do photo video stuff. I do all sorts of stuff. I point cameras at things.
Point cameras at things. Walking Dead, what is it, season 4, episodes 9, 10, and 11, right?
So the next one's going to be episode 12 still. So they do have information on that if you want to go look at what's coming up. But, yeah, the ones that we probably just covered were After, which is episode 9, Inmates, which is episode 10, and then Claimed, which is episode 11.
All right. So we've watched 3 episodes. We haven't been able to talk about it on the air yet. Overview. What do you guys think? Scale 1 to 10, let's say, right quick. The first 3 episodes since the break.
Well, on my end, I have to say that I'm really excited about the reintroduction, or at least for those of us who are comic book readers, the reintroduction of the character Abraham. He is my favorite character in the comic book. I think he is just a fabulously well-rounded character. He's got great flaws, but he's also got great power, and he's just such an interesting character. Happy to see him reintroduced into the dialogue.
And Abraham would be?
Abraham's the big white dude who was in the military truck.
So
and,
2 and 3.
Yes.
So he's the redheaded guy.
Yeah, he's
Brian is not a I haven't gotten any of the comics yet.
So Abraham is one of the boldest characters in the comic book. As Rick has been kind of struggling with this downward struggle of what is a leader and struggling with trying to determine how he fits into this whole, you know, post-apocalyptic scenario, Abraham comes in and just... I'm the boss. I am a big man. I'm on a mission. He's just always been such a fascinating character study for me that I'm just so excited to see him introduced.
Brian, what's your overview?
Okay, so, you know, coming from the last half of the season, first thing I noticed on this part of the season is that they've gone to a different style. So they're kind of jumping into some backstories on characters that they haven't covered yet. That was something I was kind of looking forward to. And of course, they always introduce some new characters at the beginning of, I guess, the half season break and the beginning of the new season. I wasn't sure at first. I was kind of frustrated maybe with the first episode because, first of all, there was a different style of how they're doing these, you know, as far as they were jumping fat back and forth. Everybody had split up. So they're jumping back and forth between these different storylines now. So the first one I was like, oh man. And I don't like the little kid. He drives me nuts.
You don't like Carl? So,
Eric loves Carl.
I'm not a big fan of Carl.
Oh, I love Carl.
He just frustrates me. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Just the immaturity perhaps.
I mean, you have to understand that he was a child when he was like thrust into this.
He's going to mature kind of differently.
Yeah,
consider where he, grew up, I guess is the best word.
I mean, yeah.
He had to grow up in a hurry.
I thought, now, going into episode one, it was a change. Now, I like the way the show directors are, like the prison. After the first conflict, they just let it go. They let time go. And you knew from that point on in this series, that's one of the things that made this series even more appealing to me as it went into another season, which I think is important for a television portrayal. It's huge. First episode, it moved a little slow for me personally. I thought they'd jump back and forth more, so I had the wrong expectation. Now we're into the third episode now, so far. Overall, I'm liking it. My interest is going up again.
Well, they have a tendency to build plot with inertia. So as the beginning of the season progresses,
the governor just died.
We've got to catch up on, okay, so where's Michonne? Where's Rick? Where are all of our pertinent A-level characters? Are they still alive? Are they mentally healthy? Are they physically healthy?
Build the conflict.
And then I think they progressed it pretty well as far as the building of inertia and
Michonne's
things are
backstory.
Really starting to happen. Yeah, a little bit on Michonne's backstory.
Yeah, Michonne's backstory. I think that was a big thing that a lot of people were wanting to know. What was she like before the outbreak?
Did you like it? Did it stick with the comic book to Eric? I mean, what'd you think, Brian? It was pretty good.
Comic books. I'm not sure. I mean, they're putting her off as a more tender heart, before, because she was like the stone faced.
She was always Carl's buddy.
Yeah, and so that's the thing is she, you could tell she has a soft spot for a child, and then they kind of explained and they showed why. And who are those two guys? That's another thing. You always wondered who are those two guys that she's led around on the collars with their arms cut off and their jaws cut off, right? We had talked about that a long time ago, saying, her pets. Who were those guys? And so they went into and actually explained who those guys were. There's still more, I think, that because
there's still more they can go back to.
They haven't fully explained that yet. There's still more story to go there because they've gotten it to a certain point in the story of, okay, they did something, right? They did something bad back at the camp that caused her to lose her child, but they haven't explained what it was yet exactly. You kind of hints at it, but you don't know exactly what it was that would cause her to cut their arms off, cut their jaws off, and lead them around like dogs.
Well, it works for her.
The theory, at least, that I prescribe to it or subscribe to is that she somehow found out that the zombies aren't going to mess with her if if she smells like them, and if the way she fits in is by traveling like them, and then having the jawless, armless ones
that can't harm her.
Yeah, she removed the threat.
So I thought the nightmare was a nice touch.
Yeah, I liked the nightmare. I thought it was a good way to like give you at least a hint of her backstory and give you an idea of like where this character comes from, while still giving it an impact on where she is right now as far as, again, her mental health and where, you know, why she's looking so hard to try to find, you know, Rick and Carl.
I can tell you Rick needs to get some new clothes.
Rick has had some tough times.
I liked the backstory. I liked the nightmare touch. I thought that was cool. I was trying to think. There's still some backstory they can go to, though. Remember the rats?
But yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing is they haven't touched on yet. Like she, you know, for some reason has had a true hatred those two guys. Remember she had hinted at a long time ago that they did something bad to her, and that's why she didn't like them. So they've hinted that they showed okay they used to be two guys that you know one was her husband. The other one was his friend or whatever. But then through the nightmares, they changed. Like they started saying, how can we raise a kid in this world? And so there's still something beyond them just becoming a tool. I think there is going to be more backstory of why she hated them so much.
One room most at
likely
a time.
Most likely they killed her child. And that's what I'm thinking. They killed her child. Maybe in a murder-suicide. Who knows what it was?
All we know, really, is that something bad happened involving them and the child. I don't think we know for a fact that it's so much they did something bad to Michonne as possibly they did something bad with Michonne. And I don't think that episode clarified whether she was a participant in this horrible thing or an observer. I don't think that was clear. So there's definitely a lot of room to go.
But I think we'll be in a future episode this season.
Oh, for sure.
And then, so Daryl, they haven't really touched on too much, right? I mean, this in the last three episodes, they've
just,
lightly...
Just enough to let you know he's alive.
Speaking of characters who have seen better days.
But they don't need to touch on him because he's such a huge character in the series. People are going to still watch as long as they know he's alive.
Well, he's an eminent survivor. The guy knows how to survive.
I think we should definitely point out that Brian, we were right on the back on Carol.
Yeah.
And Tyrese, is that the name?
Tyrese, yeah.
Still doesn't know. That was done well in the television series.
So I mean, it pretty much comes back. You know, she comes back as someone who's helping. He accepts her, so I think that's good. You know, we have a lot of characters. There's a couple characters that I don't remember if they died or not. Are there some characters that we don't know if they're still alive from?
Almost certainly. We haven't seen this. There were a lot of like B characters who got a line here and there who they haven't addressed if they're alive or dead.
There's still the one guy that rescued Rick at the beginning of this first or second season in the hometown, all deranged. He didn't die.
So he hasn't come back yet. But now that Rick is out on the road, there's an opportunity for him to perhaps come back in the story. And also the guy who was the military guy that you weren't sure about who had the drinking problem, right?
Right.
Did he die?
No, he just kind of disappeared.
Yeah. There was so much chaos, they lost all the B characters.
What about the new female in it? I'm sorry, doesn't she look like she should be at a cosplay convention? With the real shorts and the halter top.
The Tomb Raider character.
Yeah, she looks like Angelina Jolie in Tomb Raider, but just not as built as well, I guess. New character there. I guess, lack of a better word, the rednecks at the house where Rick had to hide.
I don't think those rednecks are going to play into it. I mean, they seem to escape them pretty handily, but who knows?
They could later on because, okay, one thing I was thinking is right after I watched that episode, one thing I was thinking about it is like, okay, they know their buddy turned, you know, the guy Rick strangled. Okay, maybe they're not the best outdoorsmen or such, but aren't they going to notice that there's a semi-automatic rifle missing now?
I mean,
aren't they going to have to think that somebody did something to their buddy?
These characters came off as dumb hicks, from my own observation.
Rick hasn't come off too well at covering his tracks. Michonne and Daryl are the two that seem to know their own in the woods.
Well, to be fair, Michonne and Daryl are both shown at least to be pretty well equipped to find
people.
Okay,
so we don't know about the rednecks. They may all be hunting buddies.
They didn't really act like buddies, though. Like, you know, the one strangled the other over a bed. So, like, that doesn't strike me as being showing too much camaraderie.
But there's a lot they could do. And like I said a little bit earlier, the rats. What about the rats?
No, that's
got to be. Come on, they couldn't have put that in there without, like.
So that's something. Yeah, I assume they didn't drop that, but. You know, there's those little girls that kind of have, you know, they've got those two different personality of the little girls. We don't know
students
if it was
of Carol's.
If it was those girls. Realistically, who else? You would assume it was a child doing this. I assume they didn't drop that. You know, I'm assuming there's a reason that all that came up, because realistically, if they just dropped it, there was no reason for them even bringing it up other than it was causing the zombies to kind of focus on that one area of the fence, which weakened the fence for a period of time, which was a little bit of a little bit of extra story. It didn't play into where we're at right now. Like if some zombies would have hit the fence, you know, that didn't change the governor coming in and doing what he did. So I'm assuming that there is a reason for that. And but do they choose to write it in? Do they think it's worth their time?
I think that there's going to be a lot of stuff written in. I don't have the advantage of the comic books to compare it to. Now, one of the things you and I have talked about with the series before, Eric and I, they're not doing it exactly the same, which I think is important for somebody who's a graphic novel.
They definitely stray from the comic series. They've held true to a lot of the major characters and giving them the same
Rick's
like,
daughter
impetus,
lives so far.
But they don't actually stick to the same story elements necessarily. They're integrating different characters at different times, and they're really doing a good job of rewriting for this particular medium, the video TV medium. But I got a question for you guys.
Yeah, didn't Rick's daughter die in the comic book series?
Yes.
Okay, so I knew. Who knows? Maybe they won't.
But
maybe
they, something
maybe
else.
Stray that much.
What I got to ask you guys a question. What do you guys think about Abraham and his protecting of Eugene? And what do you think about Eugene?
I don't exactly get Abraham. Yeah, I like him as a character. I like Eugene's kind of an enigma right now. Okay. The Tomb Raider chick just seems out of place, dude. I'm sorry. She really does. I just, as soon as I introduced that character, just the way she was dressed, I'm like, that's not how you dress for a zombie apocalypse.
Well, you got to give a little something to the fanboys.
Well, it looks like she should be at a cosplay convention. That was first second of visual.
Well, and if you were, I mean, you got to think of how the art in a comic book would be.
I like that aspect because the sergeant fits
that. That's how they would have put it in the comic book, right?
Right.
I mean, it would be a character that's that kind of outlandish as far as the drawing of her. That doesn't play out as well in an actual character on a television screen.
Not yet. It could.
So, yeah, but when it looks like the Dukes of Hazzard, you know, as far as they were dressed in the
Daisy Dukes. That's it. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I mean, that's what we're seeing is it's just kind of the outlandish, like, who dresses like that? And let alone in a zombie apocalypse, who dresses like that?
And I agree. They got to give the fanboys something, and they're probably thinking, who cares?
And given the amount of lines that they've given her, and, like, her survival is subject to variability. She might just be a one-off throwaway character. But then again, she might not.
Test market.
Yeah.
Test market.
Yeah, they want to see how many people like her.
But let's get back to Eugene for a second.
Yeah, go back to Eugene.
What do you guys think about Eugene having the benefit of the comic book? I know he has a lot of influence in the forward momentum of the story, at least from the perspective of the comic book.
I like the character that I've seen so far. I like the conversation with the one girl that came in from the governor's side and helped Glenn and him. A little bit of mystery and enigma there. She doesn't exactly seem to trust him. Not that she's necessarily a good judge of character. So I think in that sense,
there was that line of where she said, "I've never seen." Remember what she said? She said, "I've never seen that before. And he's like, what?
Smiling.
And she said, I've never seen someone smile as they kill people. You know, and it's like, you know,
he wasn't killing people, was kind of though. He was killing zombies.
Yeah, but he enjoys it.
Well,
you know, it's like, and I think that's what you're kind of getting at. Guy is happy as can be that the zombie apocalypse has happened.
He also thinks he's saving the world.
You gotta admire a hero quest, in my opinion. A hero quest is an old and great sort of a motivator. This man thinks he has the impetus to act because of his ability to forward think and put like eyes on the prize, and he enjoys his work.
Yeah, what about this guy that knows what caused it?
What about Eugene?
You know?
Yeah, it's like he says he knows what caused it, but you haven't seen anything yet that says he actually knows anything. You know, he says to the one guy, "I'm smarter than you." But, you know, I've heard plenty of people say they're smarter than someone else, and they're really not.
So we know there's arrogance. We know there's arrogance.
Yeah, there's arrogance.
Did they shoot up the truck?
But you haven't seen anything to back it up yet.
The truck circumstance was different in the comic book. So it's like, as I said, they don't stick to the story in a hard and fast, the comic book is the Bible. It's more like the comic book is the inspiration. But... something else I know about Eugene is he wears
all amped up and a lack of understanding of semi-automatic weaponry.
He's analytical. All right. I also know he wears a mullet, and I don't have a good way to put this. I'm trying to avoid spoiling the comic book plot elements because I don't know if that'll actually spoil anything for the show, but beware a man in a mullet. Unless you're in like West Kentucky at a derby of some sort.
the other new element that we haven't touched on yet, as far as the series goes, is it looks like there might be another thing like Woodbury,
or bigger, or different, or worse.
We keep seeing these signs that there's this area that's a safe zone, right?
I thought it was kind of interesting that the one was like silkscreen printed, which I thought, wow, they're still silkscreen in a zombie apocalypse. That's cool.
Yeah. Where do these people get this nice printing press? I mean, obviously there's something there if they've got a printing press.
It's television.
In a scavenging society, you don't know what kind of, let's think about the introduction of Glenn all the way back and how handy he was at finding things. That's not a trait that's unique to Glenn.
No.
I mean, any good scavenging society is going to have somebody who knows how he get his hands on interesting things. And who knows, they might have found an old T-shirt shop.
Or they might have just
dabbed it with somehow wired up power to it. Yeah, just enough to be able to print.
Some guy on a bicycle.
Who knows?
Well, you know what? It's going on the fourth season. They better find rechargeable batteries and a way to recharge them pretty soon.
I mean, there's been limited reintroduction of electricity, and occasionally they find generators and batteries. And so, like, you have to think, like, okay, say if 99% of the population instantly disappeared, or at least converted into these walking dead.
This is zombie apocalypse science right now.
You got to figure that there's a percentage of the population that still exists that had... or has an understanding of
survival.
Different types of technology.
And survival.
And ways to hillbilly up a generator.
And they're still finding gasoline for vehicles.
Yeah, I mean, the speed that the depopulation happened means there's resources to be exploited.
Just scattered.
If you can find them.
Yes. If you know where to look, and if you're able to look.
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't they all have a new T-shirt for every day, then? I mean, because they're walking around in these worst clothing possible. I could walk into a Walmart, if 99% of the population died, I could go grab 30 packs of T-shirts and wear a new fresh T-shirt every day. You know, it's like they walk around in these raggedy clothes, go into any mall.
But all the people who thought about going to those type of places might now be zombies in those type of places.
Well, and also
all been avoiding populated areas for the most part.
And it's important to remember that during a survival situation, you carry as much as you can carry that you think you're going to need tomorrow. And you have to, like, do a triage of what kind of weight you're carrying, and having three pairs of underwear is good, but having 36 is probably too much.
Yeah, but I would think that with a stocked up in the prison, you know what I mean?
But then they had to leave the prison in a hurry.
They didn't have a lot of time to pack.
Yeah, so maybe they did stock up.
Yeah,
and
I mean, they were planning on being attacked.
There was no warning.
Certainly not by a tank.
There was no warning, like, Noah, go fill the ark, okay? It's like, damn, the governor's on the door and he's got a tank.
Yeah.
But I
gotta go.
If it were me and I was in prison, you know, and felt like I was going to be there for a while, I would have gotten some of those luxuries, you know. Go out to the mall,
and they did
and get some of those things.
I mean, they got what they could find, and they you know they were sending raiding parties out,
and they were showing them doing laundry and stuff like that.
So they were like starting to recreate those the you know hierarchy of basic needs. They were like working up that chain, but then.
And we already,
the governor in a tank showed up. So,
yeah, you know.
You kind of have to, you know.
Well, and that's something that in a book, like if there was a book to where they could fill in that backstory, I think they would. I think because it's coming off of a comic book, you know, it's very similar to a TV show to where they're just kind of leaving a lot of things out. I enjoy books because I like hearing all that backstory of them going out and doing all these extra things. But it seems like with this, there isn't that. You know, there's not all this. So people don't feel like when they're watching the TV series that maybe they're losing out on as much. I always hate watching a TV series that's based on a book because I feel like there's so much they're reading. Pretty much it's all the main concept of everything that
you're
happens.
You're chopping out, Brian.
Some, do you feel like they're covering it pretty well?
We got Skip.
Oh.
Are we?
We have. Or you're breaking up, Brian. I'm losing you something.
Yeah, you're a.
So are you.
I'll go check that.
You're skipping as well, Brian. So I'm just going to keep on talking a little bit here.
All right. Let me
You're a little bit better. Now you're gone again. And you Nation listeners, we're having a little bit of skip modulation problems on the the VoIP end of things. It's not going to be on the broadcast end of things. I can see that's going fine.
There we go.
Yeah, you're better.
It's clear now.
At least it didn't completely kick you off.
Yeah, it's starting all warbly on me.
So were we. Same here. And I'm noticing we're not doing that bad on ping inside of IRC and stuff. So I don't think it's – I think it's just the VoIP. Nonetheless, yeah. 35 minutes on Walking Dead.
Yeah, it's a good show. I'm fond of it.
Do we want to go back to some news, or do we want to keep talking about The Walking Dead?
I had a question for him. Do you feel like they're leaving out? Do you feel like they're covering pretty much every aspect of the comic book, even you know, except for the fact that they're changing the story some? But do you feel like they've covered everything up to this point that the comic book has?
It's hard to say that definitively because the comic book progresses using different lines, and the plot lines, the way they weaved the story together in the book, is similar but different enough that they're leaving things unaddressed occasionally, but sometimes weaving those unaddressed issues back into later episodes. So I think they're doing a good job of covering the major plot elements, covering the major story elements, while still creating something that fits the medium really well. Because a comic book is similar to a screenplay insofar as the way it's written and the way it simply handles plot element changes. But TV is very different from a comic book in certain elements. And because of that, I think they're weaving the story together very well and they're addressing the characters very well and still leaving enough room for creativity on the writer's part in order to weave this together using TV as a medium, using episodic TV specifically.
Isn't the graphic novel author also in show author?
Yes. The author,
and a creative director.
He is part of the writing staff on that show, and he's definitely taking some liberties moving things around and keeping it exciting for viewers like me who have read. I'm only a couple of books ahead of where we are in the plot right now. And it's interesting because...
Do you actually have those books?
I don't have those books, but Jarecki does. Oh, so, yeah.
Oh, what, I gotta get those.
Old buddy of mine's got a couple of the compendiums, and he's books ahead of me. But the show is rapidly approaching where the current terminus of the story in the books. So, like, some of the characters who are current in the books are starting to show up, Abraham being included, and I just have to go back on the record and say I love that character so much. He's so entertaining. Like, he's flawed. Now, don't get me wrong, he's not a perfect individual by any stretch, which is why he's such a good character. But he's just going to get more and more interesting as time goes by. He's very steadfast and just such a cool, well-written character. And I hope this actor does him justice, but so far, so good.
Was the Tomb Raider girl in the comic books?
There was a couple of girls...
That could fit the bill.
In his party when he initially shows up in the comic book. So they're like, he was with a bigger group. It wasn't just the three of them when they show up. And they kind of like Rick is still with the group when Abraham initially crosses paths with them. So like in that regard, the TV show is way different because in the book, he was more introduced to that group as a group. Whereas in this, it looks like Abraham's going to start picking up individuals from what we know is our main cast of characters.
It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, that's one thing.
Got six more days.
When my connection started breaking up, was saying that, you know, I feel like the style of comic book kind of matches up to TV, as far as, you know, in a book there's so much backstory and there's so much extra things they write about usually.
Sure, sure.
That they always have to leave out of a television series just because.
And they, you know, can kind of get it there, but they can kind of get it there with the visual of a comic as well.
Yeah, with a comic, it really matches up to what the same visuals and the same, I guess, pace of a story on a television series or, you know, even a movie. So, you know, I think it really matches up. You said they're different, you know, they're similar but different. But, you know, I think that because of the comic book, you know, they're probably able to keep to the story a lot better than they would with the book.
Seen a storyboard, which is something how they lay out the shooting schedule of a TV show or a feature film. Storyboards and feature films have very similar structure as comic books do. There's a box with an image. This is what's going to be on camera. And then there's a little box of dialogue, like the words that are spoken dialogue, and then a little bit of scene description that can't. But now, storyboards are very rough, but they progress in a similar way as comic books do. So the TV and comic books are definitely closer than TV and books. There's less steps in between as far as the writing process is concerned. If you understand what I'm getting at. So,
I assume something that like in the comic books, your mind is filling in a lot of the little details. They're kind of showing you, here's a little quick screenshot of what's happening here, and then your mind plays it out.
Precisely, and that's similar in the way that we watch TV. We're thinking about, okay, well, we jumped in time, obviously, and because the viewers of TV, especially nowadays, modern viewers have understood the rules, maybe not consciously, but they understand the rules that television shows follow. So, like, you kind of understand that if they're doing, like, a fade to black or a fade to white, they're progressing time without showing it to you. And using that methodology, we are more educated as viewers now than we ever have before, because we have this whole backdrop of, you know, we've been watching TV and movies since we were children. Nowadays, everybody, even you, Lumpy. And because of that, like, I think the type of writing that's showing up on television is developing in a more sophisticated way for a more sophisticated audience. And because of that, I think the types of adaptations are becoming more and more, they have the potential to grow in quality if good writers are hired on.
I think sociologically, psychologically, growing up in the era I did, seeing like, I mean, look at the TV shows of yesteryear and how campy and cheesy they were. They were much more theatric, I guess is the right word.
Like, a great example. I was watching the Errol Flynn Robin Hood movie the other day. Yeah. And if anyone's not familiar with this, this is the film that Robin Hood Men in Tights was more or less directly translated from. And it's completely over the top in their acting style. And their cuts are very simple and very linear. And the story structure is very simple and very linear. And you compare that to, like, modern film and TV. I think a great example would be Pulp Fiction. It's always a good example because of the type of nonlinear storytelling that they use and the way that they're bouncing around in time. And I think a sophisticated audience, a current audience, is more than capable of understanding this type of plot progression. Whereas viewers in the 1938 Errol Flynn days didn't necessarily have that understanding, and it was a still new technology at that point. Color was a new thing at that point, color film. So as we've progressed technologically, so is our ability to understand more complicated storytelling in a much deeper way.
Go on, Brian.
And I think that something that kind of really has led to this is it seems like Lost was a show that kind of pushed the bounds when it came to this, to where you had so many storylines going and things were jumping around. I think that this has a very similar feel to what Lost had for me.
Heroes. That's
Yeah, and I didn't watch Heroes, and that could be very similar. But that, you know, that seems like for me, that's what kind of led, you know, to where afterwards, you know, with Lost, I always wanted to see the next episode, and they kind of have the same thing going here for this.
Well, and I think that the way they write the end of the episodes to give you one fact that's going to pertain to the plot progression in the next episode, in that little teaser at the end, has always been a great method for continuing to keep viewers engaged and interested. And I think that The Walking Dead in particular has been handling that type of teasing you with information.
The teaser at the end has been around forever, though, I think.
Yeah, but it's still effective. Useful. And it's
Buck Rogers did.
You know, audience something to look forward to, they're much more likely to continue to watch and continue to be engaged than if you don't tease them a little bit.
I would even go as far to say, okay, short of like sitcoms on TV and stuff like that, they all give you teasers anymore. You almost expect it. If it's not there, it seems kind of weird.
Well, I know Dexter handled it like that. And, you know, any television show that has a long-running, plot-heavy influence to it is going to have to keep you engaged to want you to watch the next
48
episode.
48 did that. The Following does that. The Headless Horseman one does that.
Well, in the weekly episodic release schedule kind of demands something like that. And it's interesting to me that some of the new viewership models, like the Netflix model, are starting to abandon the old ideas as far as this weekly episodic release schedule, where, like, for example, House of Cards is a new show, and second season's done, it's on. And you can watch every single episode in fact, I read an article recently that said something like 4% of viewers of the new series of Netflix watched them back to back, straightforward. And, you know, I think it's interesting to watch the viewership change and the demands of the viewership. We're much more instant gratification nowadays.
Microwave generation.
We want
to. Do you think they're going to stick to AMC, though? I mean, because that's one thing that frustrates me is I don't have cable. Why, you know, and maybe it's their contracts with cable that are limiting this. But, you know, why is AMC limiting it to being on cable? Why don't they have a subscription on their website for when it comes out? You can also, you know, you don't have to have a cable connection. You can watch it live on their website, you know, with your subscription. I mean, this seems like this kind of a series is the perfect opening for that.
I think you're asking a question that's specific to The Walking Dead that I could spread out to television in general, which is the distribution method of media nowadays is like the Wild West. and different companies are trying different methodologies things, yeah. to try to see what the new method, the new ruling method is going to be. And I think that we have yet to determine how this cable, internet, TV, video, YouTube infrastructure is going to play out over the next couple of years. But I think in the next couple of years, some of the dust is going to begin to settle, and we might start seeing patterns emerge.
There's even a over-the-air antenna company that specializes in, you know, converting over-the-air signal to your digital TV, HD, and they're, I can't remember where I read it again. I read it, skimmed it real quick today. They're toying with the idea of offering also internet channels. So you would get over-the-air and internet from their device.
Suffice it to say, the media distribution in this country is the Wild West. There are still gunslingers. They're still shooting at each other. We don't know how the dust is going to settle and who's going to remain standing. And that's it's a good segue into the argument recently between Netflix and bandwidth.
And Comcast.
Comcast specifically, but bandwidth providers in general.
You were catching up when we covered those two stories.
Yeah, we actually covered those.
We got 11 minutes left, but those do tie very nicely into this. And like you said, it's the Wild West. My comment was, who's the good guy here? Verizon for throttling or Netflix for actually awarding Comcast money to get the extra bandwidth? Who's that going to benefit in the long run? Google's also expanding their fiber network, you know?
Again, the information distribution in this country is in a Wild West state, and we don't know who's going to win. Comcast is trying to buy Time Warner. That seems, at least in my opinion.
That actually went through, so they actually...
Okay, so they're buying.
Yeah. They have, yeah.
So Comcast is buying Time Warner. I'll amend my language. And...
It's a new show.
And who knows what type of monopoly potential this seems to have and what implications for open internet that's going to have. I know the FCC, for once, seems to be fighting for our rights, which, like, I can't remember the last time that the FCC and my opinions on media distribution have actually been in line, so that might be cool.
Yeah, but the head of the FCC is an ex people that go to Washington? An ex-lobbyist for the cable companies. So I'm not planning on best interest being served by the FCC right now.
But who knows? Because it almost looks like they're starting to implement a structure that is at least a little more forward-thinking than prior FCC governing agencies have created. I'm going to garner a little faith that maybe for once they actually have our best interest in mind.
I think also just market-driven logic behind it, like I was saying with the logic behind Comcast, the logic behind Verizon. You're providing bandwidth. Everybody wants bandwidth. Therefore, the price of bandwidth inevitably has to go down, and therefore the person who can satisfy the most bandwidth and the most people with bandwidth is, you know, so eventually, Brian, one way or another, the FCC is going to have no choice. We were talking about connectivity. We were talking about, you know, we were comparing it to a toll booth. A gangster, you're going to come through our neighborhood.
I mean,
you're going to pay.
More like a bridge toll,
you know,
bridge troll rather.
Well, and like I have Cable One here rather than Cast, and I have a love-hate relationship with Cable One here. They'll change their plans and they'll do something that'll just piss me off one day. But then, like, I called in and complained to them because they changed my plan and they upped my price and they did all this stuff. And then a couple of weeks later, they fixed it all. And so here,
is there a competing cable agency in your neck of the woods?
No, there's none. No, if me calling them complaining because they changed the plans because I had one so I actually lowered my plan to the lowest one because I was so frustrated to keep it at $60 a month to the 30 megabit. And then I went and looked at my plan, still paying, or I'm paying like $50 or $60 a month. And I went and looked at my bill, and they doubled it to where I'm getting 60 megabits with like 5 megabits or 6 megabits up and paying the price that I used. They doubled the bandwidth. So, you know, that's where I get that love-hate. They'll do something really stupid that I feel like just screwing me over. But then Cable One, which I don't hear that Comcast does, turns around, and then they'll double your bandwidth. You know, they'll double your price for a while, but then they'll double your bandwidth.
You know, are you aware of the Coca-Cola strategy from the 80s? Are you guys too young to remember that?
Go on.
The new Coke failure?
Oh, God.
I'm telling you, it was a big deal. Now, here's the thing, though. They were debating it, and they were debating it for a long time. The new Coke failed miserably, and Pepsi became number one. First time in the history of the competition of the two companies, Pepsi gave all the employees a day off. But in the long run, because Coca-Cola was then forced to go back to old Coke, Coca-Cola ended up gaining more market share than they lost.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's the thing is they they've been they, well, my cable company used to say, okay, if you want to have 3 megabit upload speed, it'll be like $200-something a month, which to me just didn't make any sense whatsoever. And so now they have it to where you get 6 megabits for $60, which I don't know how their prices jumped so much from almost $300 a month for 3 megabits up to now 6 megabits up for 60. It's just, it's really strange. I think I don't want to get locked into, I mean, if you don't call in and ask agent, they don't change your price. So I just went with the lowest price and then they upped me to the top plan for the same price. I don't understand.
In a sense, they heard your complaint and
I don't know. Maybe somebody changed something on a computer. You know, I called in and complained and maybe they fixed it. I don't know. Maybe I should call and say anything because I don't want them to change it back.
Well, don't call them, change them back. Or maybe it was just like me at the video store. Well, okay. You're a day late, but you rented 10 movies. I'm not worried about the late fee. Oh, you rented 10 more.
Yeah, because I called to see, well, can I cancel? Because I was frustrated. I was like, can I cancel my account? And they said, no, you're in a contract. I said, well, when I signed up for this contract, you know, I was paying this much for this bandwidth. And then you guys change your plans. Now you want me to pay $300 for this bandwidth, for this plan. You know, I went from paying less than $100 to $300. And so nothing was all resolved in that conversation. You know, I hung up the phone just saying, all right, well, I'm in this contract. There's nothing I can do. But then a week later, my plan changes for no additional charge. So I don't know if it was that or if they changed something in their overall plan.
Well, all I know is the infrastructure, as it continues to grow and Google continues to wire up cities, perhaps the competition level might drive some market innovation and start to see a little bit of progress as far as that's concerned.
I think, having survived the VHS beta days and seen a lot of that type of change in my life, I really think that the Verizon philosophy of trying to throttle to, you know, be a toll, what'd you say, a troll bridge?
A bridge troll.
Is not going to compete with companies. I mean, like Google, who are offering both bandwidth and services. I think it's going to be interesting to play, see how it plays out. I'm kind of glad we went back to that. That was good talk with three. And we are rolling out of time quickly. We are 3 minutes to the top of the hour.
3 minutes.
And we got 6 minutes in the queue. Oh, no. Like, we've never done that before. Brian, why don't we go? do you want to try and hit one more? Or are you going to get out of here? Your call.
No, I think we pretty much have covered everything. We've wrapped back to the stories we started the segment with or ended the last
segment. We got a Walking Dead show. We got a Walking Dead show out of this one, and we got a Google show out of it. And we got some good banner about, you know, the direction of things. I think it's great. So, Brian, why don't you roll out with your contact information again?
So if you want to go ahead and go to bitoftech.com, that's B-I-T-E of tech.com, or if you want to go to google.com/+Brian Aldridge, one will go to my Google Plus page, the other one will go to my blog, or go ahead and go to indienation.fm. We've got some contact forms there.
Eric, why don't you go next?
I have contact information. I'm sure you could find me somewhere on Lumpy's site. Oh, I have a Twitter that I haven't checked in a while.
All right, I'm Lumpy on Twitter. The thump you hear as I'm on the mic stand is Shadow. He's not used to 2 mic stands in front of the desk. So he just got up realizing it was about the end of the show and went boom. Hey, check the website out, indienation.fm. I think on that note, we're just going to get on out of here with some Griswolds. Great Down Under sound. You can find them at wearethegriswolds.bandcamp.com, which I think is a pretty cool Bandcamp, what do you call
URL.
It, subdomain?
Sure.
Well, when it goes first and then it's .something.com, it's subdomain.
Yeah.
And on that note, we'll catch you all next week, so it's time to say goodnight, all.
Night chat. Nice chatting with you.
Have a good night.
It's just noise. Turn it up loud.
You are connected to the new media order.